Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
This morning, the message that I believe with all of my heart the Lord God has for this house is simply entitled, Our Secret Prayers. How many were here Friday night? Amen. Praise God. We had a powerful time in the presence of the Lord. As you know, the third Friday of every month, we come together for prayer. And God already began to do surgery on hearts this past Friday. And as I had mentioned, the Lord had put this in my heart. I'm going to share with everyone this morning what the Lord is saying to this house. Amen. We're going to read this morning in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew 6, 5 through 8, if you have it. Say amen. Amen. Beginning at verse number 5, and the word of the Lord says, And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Hallelujah. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's a good word. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Glory to God. Saints of the Most High, you may take your seats this morning in the presence of the living God. Let me begin by saying that prayer is the greatest source of power, glory to God, in the life of a believer. Prayer is often one of the most untapped resources that the body of Christ loses in their walk or sometimes forgets about altogether. Let me say this, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless pastor is a powerless pastor. A prayerless church is a powerless church. We can never, ever get enough prayer. We all face problems that are so big sometimes, so big to handle or even solve on our own. And we are often confronted by enemies that seem too strong to overthrow or to overcome. What are we to do, people of God? The answer is very simple. It's always the same answer. Pray, glory to God. What should we do? Pray. What should we do immediately? Pray. What should we do during the crisis? Pray. What should we do after the crisis? Pray. Everything. We should pray. Praise God. The problem many times is that so many people lose steam. We lose the hunger or we lose the thirst for prayer. We lose the hunger of being in God's presence. Many of us don't know how to travail in prayer or persevere in prayer. When you hear the word travail, you say, what are you talking about? That means there was an acronym people have used in the past, push, pray until something happens, right? But sometimes we got to pray and fight, resist the devil, stand in the gap. We gotta put up our dukes and say, Satan, no, you can't have my sister. Satan, no, you can't have my husband. Satan, no, you can't. You know, we gotta start praying for our loved ones. We gotta pray over ourselves. We had a sister here that was going through breast cancer, and she had lost already one breast due to cancer. And then they started saying the cancer is now spreading to the other breast. She started running around saying, devil, you can't have another breast. Praise God. Sometimes we got to fight the good fight, and we got to pray. We got to believe, and we got to receive what our prayers are being prayed unto God for. We have to believe in God's word. We've got to trust in God's word and not be afraid. We could choose to have faith, or we could choose to have fear. Some of us get discouraged because we don't get answers quickly enough, and then we allow the enemy to discourage us. Our daily grind oftentimes overwhelms us, and we find the day slipping away. Saints of God, God is calling you back this morning to the secret place of prayer. The secret place where you fell in love with God, your first love, your first encounters with the Holy Spirit of God, the place where you received your first visions, your dreams, direction from the Lord, the place that is reserved only for you and for God. How many have a place like that? Some, you know, for me, many years, that place was the bathroom. Praise God. I kid you not, we have 5 kids in the house. Praise God. It was like Grand Central Station in my house. And sometimes the only place indoors that I could be alone with God is in the bathroom. But let me tell you something, and this I kid you not. There were times when I needed to be in the presence of God immediately, or I was going to act out and do something stupid. And I tell you the truth, because that bathroom was so saturated in prayer, saturated in the presence of God, sometimes a minute I walked in, whoosh, I closed the door, and I'm like, Lord God, protect me from myself. I'm about to do something stupid. Lord God, help me. Lord God, and the Lord would uphold me. Praise God. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you got to get alone with God. I remember seeing my mother when I used to be outside doing stupid things, and I'd come home late or try to sneak in. I knew when my mother busted me because I used to climb out the window, climb out on the roof, and jump down. And then I had a certain way of climbing back on to get in. And my window was always locked. And I'd go, she got me, busted. And the thing is, she would have the door, the front door unlocked. Like, my mom never left the door unlocked. But she's like, all right, I got you. The minute I come home, that out came the extension cord. Praise God. Some of y'all got the strap. I got the extension cord. Praise God. My mom was no joke. She beat the devil out. That's right. Demon! She's called demonio! Start whacking me, beating my behind. But let me tell you something about a woman of God who raised 6 kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. There were many nights where she didn't know. There were many nights she didn't know where we were, what we were doing, if we were going to come up dead or not. And I would come in and I would see the light underneath her door, and the door was cracked. And I would see this woman of God at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, on her knees before God. And she had to work the next day, 5:30 in the morning, she was up. She would spend most of her night praying in her secret place for her kids. And behold, her son now is a pastor. I ran my whole life. I did every drug, even drugs I can't even pronounce. Praise God. I did everything I could to destroy my testimony. But the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Mothers, fathers, hallelujah, pray for your children. Never give up. Praise God. Brother Allen, he's got a podcast, Parents of Prodigals. Never stop praying for your kids. Never stop praying for anyone else's kids. Stand in the gap for one another. Share each other's burdens. Praise God. How about this? I need your prayers, and you need my prayers. We need to pray for each other. God is calling us back to that place where the tears of travail turn into triumph. Your trial will become your triumphs. Where does it happen? Where does it take place? In the secret place of your private prayers with God. I have to ask you, do you have a secret place? Everyone in this room, do you have one? Is your secret place the car on your way to work? Where is your secret place? Is it the handball court in the park? Is it the park bench by your house? Is it anywhere? Is it in your backyard, on your deck? Where is your secret place? Where do you get alone to be with God? I mean it. Listen, if you don't have a secret place, you need one. Everyone in this house, everyone online, every single believer, now is the time for you to go back to the secret place. And if you don't have one, you need one. I call the secret place a private rendezvous point. How many have ever been to Lover's Lane? Come on, who am I talking to in this house? I got a whole bunch of people in here getting all sanctified and holy up in here. Praise God. Who's never been to Lover's Lane? I know of several Lover's Lanes. I know a Lover's Lane in every town in Westchester. Praise God. You give me the town, I'll pick the spot. I'll tell you where to go. Hallelujah. Lover's Lane. How many have ever been to Lover's Lane? This is the can't miss, can't fail place. Am I telling the truth? You know, the minute you pull up, oh yeah, it's on. Praise God. Right? You may be even looking forward to the Lover's Lane, but how many are looking forward to the Lover's Lane of God? How many are looking to love? Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Oh, yeah, we're going to get some alone time, you and me, God. I'm tuning the world out. I'm tuning the kids out. I'm tuning my wife out. I'm tuning my parents out. I'm tuning the news media out. I'm tuning out social media, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all these other rumbles and all. I'm tuning them out, Lord. It's just you and me. Just the two of us. I'll make some of y'all backslide up in here. Praise God. Do you have a rendezvous place with God? You need it. Praise the Lord. If we make so much time for others and we make so much space in our life to be with the people we love, how much more so the Father in heaven? And let me tell you something. God is not so demanding that he's going to have you shave your head like you're going to sell flowers in the airport with a gown on. God is not asking you more than you could give. But God is saying, give me a little something, something, something. Just give me a little time. Give me something. Just show me that you're thinking about me. Just spend some time with me. Pastor Daisy on Friday night prayer, she said, is your heart God's home? That struck me like a lightning bolt, because the Bible says that our heart is deceitful and wicked above all things on planet Earth. That means, does God get to go into the heart and does he have to push things out of the way? Does he have to get some clutter out of there? Does he have to declutter? Is your heart a home for God? Is your rendezvous point, is your Lover's Lane, is that secret place, that room, is it clean and tidy? Is it a suitable place for the Lord to enter into? Are there any junk pictures on the walls? Are there any symbols? Are there any obstructions? Does the room need to be purged? Would the Lord be comfortable on your couch? Or do the cobwebs have to be cleaned out first? Saints of God, secret prayer, the secret place of prayer is always the solution. It's going to be your source of power in the next few days, in the next few weeks, in the next few months, as long as it takes before the Spirit of God calls us home. Jesus himself gives us instructions this morning for powerful prayer. We read it earlier. He said the prayers that are heard by God are the prayers that are done in secret. Those are the powerful prayers on this earth. He says, go into your room. Go into that secret place. Enter into your closet and get alone with God. Hallelujah. We have to understand that this type of prayer is a powerful prayer. There are other types of prayers, no less powerful. For example, the prayer of agreement. That this is the prayer between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman that have become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. That means when a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, get together and they join hands together, that is one of the most powerful prayers on the face of planet Earth. But oftentimes, we don't want to pray with our wife. We don't want to pray with our husband. It's time. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. We have corporate prayer. When we all get together as a family, as a church, we did that on Friday night. Corporate prayer. It's a wonderful experience, and the power of God is always released. I'm telling you, there's never been a Friday that I've been here that was not powerful. There was never a Friday night prayer that I went home and say, man, that was, I don't know what happened. That was awful. Never. Not one. When you purpose to get alone with God, when you purpose to get together with other brethren and seek the face of God, he's always going to show up. But there's something special about your alone time. There's something special when a saint of God, when a man, when a woman, when a vessel of the living God says, no, I don't want to pray with anyone else right now. I just want to be alone with God. Date night with Jesus. To have an audience with the King of Kings, with the Lord of all creation, with the God of all gods, the God of wonder, the God of majesty, the eternal one. Can you imagine that? I want to get alone with the King. I want to have an audience with the King. That's like if you were going to go to some foreign land and have an audience with the prime minister. You know how much red tape you would have to go through? So many background checks, so much stuff, surveillance. They would crawl in every crevice of your life to see if you are ready enough to sit with the King. But our God, the creator of heaven and earth, says, come unto me. Sit with me. Let's talk a while. This is why it's so important. We don't realize the power. We don't realize the closeness that is available to us with the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe. All he wants is a little bit of time. This is why Jesus said, shut the door. Pray to your Father. He'll meet you in the secret place. He sees everything that takes place in secret. And what is done in secret, that means what is done in private, will be rewarded publicly. Married couples. I'm talking to the married couples. Hallelujah. If you're engaged, it don't qualify. Married couples. When you want some alone time. Hallelujah. Do you leave the door open in your house? Do you leave the room open, especially if there's kids running around? Of course not, right? You go into your room and you close the door. And in the privacy of your secret place, you bond in the beauty and the healthy relationship with the covenant of marriage. Marriage is more than a contract. Marriage is a covenant. Your marriage should be fire. Hallelujah. It should be holy and anointed and blessed by God. The same way, if you don't speak to your wife or your husband, how far do you think you're going to get? If there's no communication, no intimacy, no provisions, it's not going to last very long, is it? You've got to make time. You've got to put in the work. Praise God. I've said for many, many seasons now that prayer is the work and ministry is the prize. And the Lord checked me on that. And I'm going to say it a different way today. Here's what I'm going to say. Prayer is the pleasant work. Hallelujah. Because some of us think it's such a job that it's such a hard thing to do. All you're doing is communicating with God. Prayer is the pleasant work and ministry is the prize. We could see the example from Jesus, our Lord. He often went out alone to pray by himself. Now listen to this. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. He's God in the flesh. He's the personification of God on earth. And he alone went out to pray. He went to pray to his Father. We see in the Gospels 25 times Jesus went out alone to pray. He retreated to prayer. And then he re-entered into ministry. Nothing ever took Jesus by surprise. Why? Because he spent time with his Father in prayer. He received the upload. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, gave his first and best moments to seeking his Father's face in prayer. Think about that. What a sobering thought. And if Jesus prioritizes time and his demands in his own human life, then shouldn't we also do likewise? How many of us have the presence of mind, the presence of heart, to discern and prioritize prayer as Jesus did? When I think about that, I'm going to be transparent with everyone in this room. It's a scary thought to me. I'm constantly thinking on a daily basis, I must increase my prayer time. I don't know if there's anybody else in the room like that, but I'm saying it on a daily basis. Sometimes I'm even asking God, forgive me for my lack of prayer time. I know I must be doing more. I should be doing more. I'm never satisfied. I feel like my prayer is never enough. Because I genuinely have a deeper desire to connect with the Lord on a much deeper level. I'm never satisfied. I want to get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I want to know more and more and more. And it's never enough, it seems. I've had to learn one secret in my life, which I believe is just a healthy thing for me as a pastor, as a man of God. I've learned to keep the door open for God. Figuratively speaking, amen. That means keep the oven hot. Preheat the oven and keep it hot at all times. If you want to bake bread, you can't even bake bread until the oven is hot. But so oftentimes when we're done with prayer, we say amen, we turn off the oven and we walk away. Now we got to work with a cold oven, right? Our life should be such where you never have to revive the prayer life. It should be such that you never have to preheat the oven. It should be such that you shouldn't have to keep putting the fuel in. The car should be idling, ready. Where do you want to go today? Keep the oven hot, praise God. Ask God to reveal, what is it, Lord? What are the distractions in my life that block or steal away my prayer time? I'm about to get some feathers ruffled up in here, praise God. You might as well tell your neighbor, I hope he ain't talking about you, praise God. Here might be one of the greatest distractions in the 21st century, right here. Praise God. This is it. This is the big one. It even outweighed TV. It has surpassed TV. It has surpassed everything that used to be. I remember going to church and they called the TV the devil box. You ever been to a church where they call TV the devil box? This has surpassed the devil box. Because you know what I find? Even in the bathroom, you can't even go to the bathroom anymore unless you got your phone with you. Am I telling the truth? Sometimes you're ready to go to the bathroom, you're ready to sit, you go, oh man, I forgot my phone. And you get back up, and you go back to the room, and you pick up the phone, and then you go back into the bathroom. Oh, I'm telling the truth here. I know y'all don't want to hear it, but I'm telling the truth. How many have driven all the way down the block and you're ready to make the left turn at the light? You go, ah, I forgot my phone. And you say, let me see, is the car behind me? Babe, back up. K-turn. And go right back home to get this. And you want to know something? When you finally got it, it spends most of the time in your pocket or in your purse. It has such a grip hold on us sometimes. When we're bored, what do? We take out the phone and we say, who's on Facebook right now? Let's see. You know, we start scrolling. Who's on social media? Who's on Instagram? Let me take pictures of myself. Let me post some beauty pics. And we put the timer. The duck lips. Oh, my God. My God, deliver your people. Hallelujah. I'm going to challenge you. This week, when you go to the bathroom, leave your cell phone in the room. How many are willing to take that challenge? How about this? How about, here, who? I might ruffle some more feathers. How about this? Instead of taking your phone, take your Bible into the bathroom. Boom, shakalaka. Take your Bible into the bathroom. Take your Bible and open up the Word of God. You'd be amazed at how much you can cover in a short period of time. And you'll start blessing the Lord. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the phone. But if the phone is distracting your life so much and you got no time, we could spend hours. Listen, if you have an iPhone, you could check your usage for the whole week. And it'll say 350 hours. What? I don't even know how many hours there are in a week. Don't we sleep 8 hours a night? You do the math, and some of us have so much time on our phone, and if you took that and just fractioned it out by 10%, it might be 4 or 5 hours. And could you give that much hours of your life to Jesus? I can sit through movies. The Lord of the Rings, I could watch all three of them. Praise God. Who's with me? Praise God. I can sit down and get into some movies. How many of us binge watch TV sometimes? We say, I got nothing going on today. Today I'm chilling. I'm getting some popcorn, some Raisinets or some Goobers or something. I'm chilling. I like Jordan almonds. Hallelujah. And my wife says, don't eat those. Those are too sugary. Don't eat them. But they're fantastic. Saints of God, get rid of the distractions. Even if it's 10% of the time, just get rid of it and start increasing your time with God. Don't make it a ritual. Don't make it a legal law. Don't make it something where you're going to fail. Just say, Lord, I intentionally want to spend more time with you, and start doing it. There are numerous examples of Jesus getting alone. I'm just going to give you three. Mark 1:35, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 4:42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. That means he couldn't even pray because the people were just crowding him. Let me tell you, when you start healing people and doing signs and wonders and multiplying bread and fish, guess what? You get famous and you have a following. Praise God. Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. Turn to your neighbor and say, but wait, there's more. Hallelujah. Jesus also taught his disciples to pray. And he says that you too ought to get alone with the Father. Praise God. We read that this morning. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Praise God. Saints of God, what do you think the goal of secret prayer is? What do you think the real true goal is? I'm so glad you asked me that question. Here's the answer. Praise God. The secret place is to get alone with God, to know thy God. That means the secret place is a place of intimacy. A place to be intimate with God, to know him, to fellowship with him, to hear from him, to shut out all those other voices. Let me just say this too, all right? Because this is important. To shut out even voices of pastors and evangelists and even prophets. To shut down all voices and just hear God alone. Because sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to spend some quality time with Jesus. And we put on YouTube and hear a pastor preach. And that might say to us, that's quality time. I spent quality time. No, you didn't. You spent quality time with a preacher. You spent quality time with a prophet. Most of them are fake anyway. It's true. There's a lot of false prophets on YouTube. We spend so much time on frivolous stuff. There's an app. It just drives me bananas. I just can't stand it. It's called the Sleep app. And I think it's James Earl Jones. He says, if you want to go to sleep, download the Sleep app. And James Earl Jones will read Bible stories from the Word of God and put you right to sleep. Satan, get thee behind me, you lying abomination. You know, people use the Bible to put you to sleep. What kind of app is that? That ain't the Spirit of God, you know, giving somebody some aha moment. You know what? If James Earl Jones read the word to me, I'm rich. Let's go. Praise God. I'm not going to go to sleep with the word. Put on some ocean music or put on some rain or something. Put me to sleep. Put on some classical music. At least my soul would be refreshed. But the Word of God is not supposed to put us to sleep. You know why the Word of God puts us to sleep? Because there ain't no spirit. Because we're so carnal in our walk, oftentimes we're so in the flesh, we're so in the natural, that the things of God are too heavy for us. Isn't this something when you set out to read the Word? Sometimes you read, and the minute you open up, you're reading like three verses. You go, all right, I'll do it later because I'm just tired. My body's tired. Then we put on the TV and we're in there for 3 hours. No problem. No problem. Isn't it true? This is why before you read the word, what is our first response? Prayer. Pray, God, Lord, I pray right now to block out every distraction. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you would open up my spirit to hear from your word. I pray that your word would leap inside of me, that you would write your word on the tablet of my heart. Lord God, I pray, I take possession right now over this flesh in the name of Jesus. Flesh, you will be alert in the name of Jesus. Submit to the will of God. Hallelujah. We start, you know, fighting, and then you open up the word. You see how, boom, it just flies off the page. There's been times I've read the word and it looks like a sunlight is highlighting certain portions of scripture. And I'm reading and there's a little piece of the Bible that's highlighted from light. And I just skip it and I go right to the light and God is saying something right there. Bam! It's amazing. It's amazing. God is awesome. He does so many beautiful things. Praise God. You see, God wants to spend time with his people. Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God wants you to know him and he wants you to have that dialogue. Did you know that prayer is a dialogue? That means it's a conversation between two people. Secret prayer is a time reserved between you and the Lord, and you are connected to him. You know that his love is going to see you through everything and anything. No problem is going to loom beyond his care. Like we heard the choir singing, hallelujah, I am not alone. Guess what? You're not alone. Even though you're in the prayer closet, you are not alone because the living God, the Word of God, the bread from heaven, the Holy Spirit of God is there right next to you, right beside you. You are never alone. He says he will meet you in the secret place. How many times people say, man, I don't know if God hears my prayers. I don't know if God hears my prayers. But guess what? Get alone with God and he'll meet you in the, this is the formula. This is what we just read. I will meet you. My Father will meet you in the secret place. The problem is many of us don't want to go to the secret place. Here's another error formula, oftentimes. This is the formula. Yeah, Pastor, I was just wondering if you could pray for me right now, because right now, you know, I got this issue going on, that issue. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll pray for you. Hey, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes, saints of God, put a hand on your own head. Hallelujah. How many of you guys are going to ever learn how to pray for yourself? How many times are you going to have to ask somebody else to pray over you? It's time to pray yourself out of your headache. It's time to pray yourself out of a paper bag. It's time to pray over the things that have kept you back for so long. And you know what? Stop being lazy. Praise God. I think we could all hear that word. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about me right now. Praise God. This time he's talking about me. I got that. I caught it. I discerned it. God has promised to be with his believers. God has promised us. But so often we're like the hypocrites. Hallelujah. Who want to pray in public and be seen by everyone. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like those that pray to be seen. Let me say this. There's no pride in secret prayers. Understand that God hates pride, and so should we. Our secret prayers shouldn't cultivate some type of reputation. Why? Because it's a secret. Our secret prayer shouldn't promote hypocrisy. In other words, keep it real when you're praying with God. Don't be fake. God could read through fakeness, just like we can. Let me tell you, somebody starts giving you jibber-jabber, and your face goes. You already know when someone's giving you a story. If you're a parent, how many times have you seen your kids try to pull one on you? And your kid comes up, Dad, I want you to know. And you're like, really? You don't think I've been that age before? You don't think I used that line on my own mother, on my own father? You don't think I played that card already? Give me your book bag. Let me see your book. Take out the book. Let me see your phone. Turn to your neighbor and say, get it together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our secret prayers don't keep earthly rewards. That means there shouldn't be ulterior motives. There's no prize money. Pastor, I did it. I prayed 25 hours this week. Good for you. Praise God. You shall receive your reward in full. There it is. Well done. Good job. I'd rather have God, who sees what in secret, reward me openly and publicly. Praise God. There are no accolades or natural honors in the secret prayer. No one is going to praise you for your hours in secret, but your secret prayers will bring public answers. Praise the living God. The time you spend alone, if you need the best, conceive it. You need the rest, believe it. Hallelujah. Your alone time with God is going to be manifested publicly. Why? Because God said he would do it. Praise God. You should learn this quote. I've said it 100 times, but you cannot go publicly where you have not been privately. I wish more ministers, more people that want to flow in the Spirit and want to do all these things, they come up and think that they're going to do the things of God without spending time with God. Even when you're fasting, praise God, sometimes people fast and you see them and they look disheveled. They look busted. Hallelujah. And then, you know, you talk to them. You say, hey, you know, is everything okay? Oh, my God, I'm so hungry. Oh, my God. I'm so thirsty. Oh, my God. You say, man, you want a sandwich, man? You want me to get you a burrito or something? What? You want a Taco Bell? Yo quiero Taco Bell? What is it? Oh, no, I can't. I can't. I'm fasting. Oh, okay. Bravo. Good job. You're suffering for Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 17 and 18. These are Jesus' words. He says, but you, when you fast, that means you're supposed to fast. Every believer is part of our DNA. It's part of what we do. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. This is almost verbatim. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let me say this and I'll move on. There's a huge difference between fasting and starving. Amen. If you are skipping a meal to the glory of Jesus, you are starving yourself. Amen. Is it? It's so simple, right? Praise God. If you are just skipping a meal or two or even a day, all you've done is been successful in starving. You are not fasting. Let me give you another scripture to put in your Bible. Matthew 4:4. This is Jesus' words. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Brother AJ spoke about that earlier. When you fast unto the Lord, supplement your meals with God's word. Supplement your meal with worship. Supplement your meal with a devotional. Supplement your breakfast or your lunch or your dinner with some study time. How about this? Supplement your meal by going into the secret place and spending time with God. That means if your breakfast is typically from 8 to 9, then instead of eating breakfast from 8 to 9, go in your secret place and take your Bible with you. That is proper fasting. Some of you might say, I'm fasting the whole day, but I got to go to work. Okay, praise God. Take God to work with you. Praise the Lord. That means while you're fastening the belts or while you're cooking or you're flipping burgers or whatever it is that you're doing, you say, glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, for this day. Praise God. These burgers smell good, but I thank you, Jesus. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. And you drive by Daddy's Donuts. You say, I bind you, Satan. I ain't getting no donuts today. Hallelujah. No donuts and coffee for me. No. In Jesus' name. I'll catch you when I'm not fasting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Daddy's Donuts are the bomb. Hallelujah. That's why I don't drive down that road. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your secret prayers, saints of God, it touches the heart of God. When you say, God, I don't have a lot of time, but you know what? Today, I'm going to make some time just to be alone with you. That literally touches the heart of God. You know, it's just like for those that have grandchildren. You know, when your grandchild, you know, as they're little, they're just so precious. But when they come, say, Papa, I just want to sit on your lap. Papa, just give me a kiss. Papa, give me hugs. Papa, give me a hug. Or when they come to you and they raise their little hands, they're basically saying, I want quality time with you. I'll do anything. Just come pick me up. I just want to be with you. No other reason. We don't have to play. We don't have to go to the park. It's awesome. Wednesday night, we've had a study for the past couple of weeks, and we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Sister Maria brought up a good point. She says, you know, sometimes when I have a prayer request that needs to go straight to the throne of God, it needs to get to God's ears directly without interference. She goes, what I do, I just pray in the Spirit. And she starts praying in the Holy Ghost. And you know why? She goes, because the devil can't understand that language. The demons can't intercept it. It's like the bat phone with Commissioner Gordon. Praise God. It's the direct access to the throne room of God. And God decodes that language. The Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf. It's a direct path to God. So many believers will never understand what this type of warfare prayer is or this type of strategy. And we don't know how to fight those battles. Why? Because we're not ready or willing to open up the gift that God has already given, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to go back and tune into those studies. They will make a lot of sense to you. But listen to what Romans 8:26-27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Prayer, Let me move on. Prayer cannot be programmed or manipulated. God sees and knows all things. The secret prayers spring forth from a quiet and honest heart. Praise God. This is the type of prayer that God can be trusted with the most deepest and most intimate yearnings and desires of your heart. This is why you can't go to God and try to fake it until you make it. And here's another thing. Praise the Lord. We cannot go to God in fake or vain repetitions. Yes, I put the rosaries up there. I did it for a reason. We are not Catholic in this house. We do not pray using the rosary beads. Amen? We do not pray to the saints. We do not pray to Mary. We do not pray to Lazarus. We do not pray to anybody but Jesus. But there are religions with beads and all this other stuff, and they'll, it becomes like vain repetition, and you got to do whatever. I don't know how many beads there are. Some of you might know, but there are beads and there are prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, and you got to do all these repetitive. Let me say something about this Our Father thing so that we understand. When the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray, he says, well, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he taught them that prayer. But guess what? After that prayer that he taught them, guess what? You never hear that prayer uttered again in the entire Bible. Not one disciple prayed it. Jesus himself didn't pray that prayer over and over again. It's okay. Praise God. It is a good prayer. It's a prayer that we should study and memorize. It's a beautiful prayer. But some people will use that prayer repetitively all the time and think that they have done their due diligence with God. God would rather have you just speak from your heart to the Father. Amen? But vain repetition, saying the same thing over and over and over and over, like stale bread. If you've had someone in your life, everybody has that one person. The one person that tries to be funny all the time says the same thing over and over. And you go, oh, here we go again, here we go again. But we do the same thing with God. We do the same thing. We come to God and we think because of our many words that we're being heard. And we start reducing the things, the names of God, to interjections. We've been through this already. But imagine this. God wants to hear your voice, and we're spending our time with these vain repetitions. What does that mean? I'll give you an example. Father God, I thank you, Father God, because Father God, you love me, Father God. And Father God, I thank you because Father God, you're in the Father God best place, Father God, of my life, Father God, and Father God, and Father God. And then we start to change it up because we say we've been killing the Father God. So we go, Lord God, and thank you, Lord God, because Lord God, Father God, and Lord God, and Father God, Lord God, Father God, Father God, Father God, Lord God, Father God, Father God, Father God, Lord God, Father God, Father God, Father God, have your way, Father God, Father God, Lord Jesus, Father God, Lord God, hallelujah, bless the Lord, Father God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Father God, Father God. Are you annoyed yet? No, you're not annoyed? Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, bless the Lord, Lord God, Lord God, Father 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 God. Oh, Father God, Lord God, Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God, Lord God, Father God, Lord God, Lord God, Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God. How many minutes? Was that like 2 minutes? You ain't annoyed yet? Okay, Father God, Father. All right. You got the message? Do we talk to each other like that? I tell you that you, Pastor. Selah, my brother. Selah. What an anointed word of God. Selah. That means stop speaking. Hallelujah. Think. Have a cohesive thought. Think. Let my people think. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Do you think God wants that kind of prayer? A resounding cymbal, a clashing gong? Boing, 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 boing. Crash, 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 crash. I'll tell you what, if you reduced your prayer time and you just kept it simple, it would be more effective in your prayer walk with God. When we say, Father God, Father God, Father God, so all that, you know what we're doing is an interjection. That means it's like when you're speaking to someone that is not able to articulate thoughts properly, and they'll say to you, don't you want to like slap the back of their head and go, come on, get it out. It's so annoying. And here's the worst. You know what I'm saying? They can say a Greek word, a Hebrew word. Bro, I know what you are saying. Just speak, my brother. How about this? Do you know what you're saying? Bro. Dialogue, people. You speak and then zip it. Zip it good. And then let God speak to your heart. Let God's word speak to your heart. Many have not heard the voice of God, and they say, how can I hear the voice of God? Here's how. Get into the word and quiet thyself. Selah. Speak. This is the difference. You can't do this in corporate prayer. You can't even sometimes do this with a husband and wife. This is why secret prayer is so powerful, because secret prayer is the time and place where you can say, oh, God, I thank you, I got it, thank you, Lord. And I'm telling you, it won't even be long. A verse will pop into your head, boom. And it begins to speak to you. And then you start crying, oh, God, thank you, boom. And another verse comes in. And another, boom, and it comes in. And God begins to speak to you. And then guess what? Then, you know, you see like a mental image, your whole, it's a vision of God. And he shows you things that are coming. Or he might give you an instruction. I want you to go here. I want you to go there. You see, prayer is the work, the pleasant work, and ministry is the prize. And when you leave your secret place, now you got a set of instructions, and now you pick up and you go, and you get your bag, you get your purse, you get your car keys, and you run out and you go and do the will of God. Amen. Do the next thing in obedience that God tells you to do, and you'll always be in the will of God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Praise God. Revival carriers, your secret prayers bring forth revival. The Father knows the things you have before you even ask. Praise God. How much time is spent or wasted on asking God for the things that he's already given us? God must be shaking his head sometimes. Let me move on. Praise God. We've got to start praying for the things that God wants us to pray for. Stop with the wish list. It's not a problem to ask God for stuff, but if that's the only time and reason that you go to God, then your prayer level is on such a low level. It's time to come up higher. Praise God. We are coming to God so often with just wish list. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. I got to pay my daughter's college. Yo, Lord, the cell phone's coming in. You know, Lord, look out for a brother. Let me hold a dollar. In Jesus' name, amen. Try hearing God's thoughts. Say, God, who do you want me to pray for? I bet you he'll show you a whole room of Chinese people in a cave somewhere. And he'll say, pray for them. They're in a swamp right now. And the Chinese Communist Party is ready to shoot them and kill them. And they're hiding for their life in a swamp. And you're here in your secret room. I want you to pray for them. And you say, oh, God, forgive me, oh, God. I've got it so good. Lord God, I pray you rescue your people. Send your warring angels on their behalf. Fill that the entrance to that cave, oh, God, with your spirit. Let them know that there are more with them than those that are against them. God is spirit, saints of God. and we must worship him and pray in spirit. Get out of the flesh. Get out of that carnal mindset. Get out of that stuff that holds us back so much. We've got to be able to be in the spirit because God is spirit. Listen to his set of instructions and then hear him and obey and follow. Stay the course. Stay on the mission. Finish the assignment. Know that God is good. He's going to equip you and supply you with everything you need in order to accomplish the mandate. It's important to know God. Listen to these powerful verses of scripture. Isaiah 65:24. It shall come to pass. Listen, if it ain't highlighted in your Bible, I don't know what's wrong with you. Praise God. This should be highlighted in your word. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Man, that's dynamite. Glory to God. Pastor Shadrach gave this one on Friday, Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen. Matthew 7:9-11. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Hallelujah. God is saying to you, church, trust me, says the Lord. No miracles, no scriptures in the Bible took place ahead of prayer. It never happened. It's always been prayer first. Prayer births miracles. Prayer births signs and wonders. Your secret prayers bring hope to a hushed hospital room. Your secret prayers can restore love to wrecked families. Your secret prayers can bring blessing to broken homes for the glory of God. Your secret prayers can send fresh winds of fire, the Holy Spirit, to backslidden prodigals. Your secret prayers, saints of God, are revival prayers. Praise the Lord. How many are prepared to go into that secret place and listen and hear and be with the Lord, to get alone with God? Let me tell you, praying people, you're in good company. Moses prayed and the Red Sea opened up. Joshua prayed and the walls of Jericho fell down. Daniel prayed and the lions became his pillows for the night. Paul and Silas prayed and they were freed from the prison. The church prayed without ceasing and Paul literally knocked on the door. Your prayer life is your first response. There's so much worry in the body of Christ. Why? Because there's so little prayer. At Ziklag, if you know the story in the book of Samuel, David came back weary from battle with his whole army. There were 3 days walking without food, without water. They were totally worn out. And he gets back to the camp and finds his wife and children and the wives and children of his men all gone, taken captive by the enemy. And his very own soldiers began to pick up rocks and they were going to stone him to death. If we would have been here, our wives and our sons and daughters would still be here. But it's because of you and your war. It's because of you that our family's been taken captive. Where are the rocks? Go, let's get some rocks. Let's stone this brother to death. What will we do in that moment? David went alone. Went alone. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. That means he kazaked himself, the Hebrew word for getting alone with God and encouraging yourself in the Lord. And while he was alone in the secret place where God meets him, in the secret place, God said, don't worry, go back out, take your men with you. You will not lose not a single person, and you're going to go into the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. And he came out of the secret place, hallelujah, and he said, men, I know you're angry, I know you're upset, but I heard from the living God. And you know what the Lord said? He said, pick up your sword. Drop that rock. Pick up your sword. Let's get your shield. We're going to go back in and get our all families out. Not one of them is going to die. The Lord said we will not lose anyone. And we're going to get back what the enemy took from us. And his army, they started to get encouraged. They started to get fortified. They said, you know what? Yeah, we're not going to kill our leader. We're going to follow him right into the camp. Tired and all. You know, the reaction of many prayerless people is to react in the flesh. Prayerful people, before they act out, act a fool, they go into the closet, praise God. They go into their rendezvous, lover's lane, and they get the upload. We see David in Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Hallelujah. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. Do you know what that Selah means? Now he's getting the upload. Turn to your neighbor and say, Kazak thyself. Hallelujah. People of God, don't you know that your prayer is a first responder's prayer? God hears your prayer. Prayer warriors, you are God's first responders. Is prayer a priority in your life? Listen to this. The psalmist, he gave the Lord the best hours of his day. He gave God the mornings to the Lord. There's a song by Derek Horn. I just love this song. Here's the words. It's called Early. It says, early in the morning, Lord, I seek you. I desire to be the first to call your name. Lord, I know you understand how much I need you, but would you listen while I say it once again? Oh, Lord, I need you more than breath. I can't live without your righteousness. I need you more than anything this world could ever bring, because, Lord, you are my everything. That's a love song to God. That's an amazing early morning sunrise prayer. People of God, prayer takes preparation. Praise the Lord. Psalm 5, 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry. My King, my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. A couple of verses. Matthew. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As I come to a close this morning, I need every person in this room to be alert and attentive to what I'm about to say. Do not miss this. Because it could mean life, and it literally could mean death. The Lord gave me a dream about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago. And he told me that there's a time of great trial coming into the body of Christ. I'm not sure exactly what's going to take place. But God is saying to me, we must be ready. We must be prayed up. He said, go and tell my people. Let me tell you this, church. The prayers that got you through yesterday are no longer going to get you through. Hallelujah. You need to spend time in the presence of God, and you need to level up in your life. I had a dream. Some of you in this room I've spoken to. And God even gave me a date. He said that death was coming. Maybe death to our land. Maybe death to the body of Christ. Maybe death to a politician. Maybe death to a big leader in our world, in our society. And God even gave me a date, which is coming very soon in the summer. He gave me the date. We've been talking at the beginning of this year that 2023 is the year of recompense. The year of restoration, the year of replenishment, that what the enemy has taken, God was going to bring back and God was going to restore. We've been talking about it. We've spoken about it. Genesis 24, the Jews call this year the year of the camel. We talked about Isaac's son and Ebenezer, that he went to find a wife for Isaac. It's all there. It's all on the YouTube. We were talking about the blessings, the favor that's being brought to God's people. The wealth of the wicked are going to be transferred unto the righteous. There's a great year of revival coming for the people of God. But guess what? This is also the year of death. We had two deaths this week in our church families. The Riveras, God rest his soul in the name of Jesus. And also the Roman and Gonzalez family. But God is saying that there's some big public figure. And the funny thing is, in the dream, we were in this church. And we were all saying to ourselves, wow, oh my God, I can't believe that. You know, we were all shocked. And God even showed me the person who it was. And when I woke up, that person was removed out of my mind. And I praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to tell you this, that I've been praying ever since then. Lord, let that day come and go with no action. I pray that you relent from whatever it is. I pray that that day comes and goes and nothing happens. That would be an answer to prayer. God is saying to the people, tell the people, come up higher. Their prayer life must increase. God wants to meet with his soldiers, with the remnant in the secret place. He has instructions for you. He wants you to go to the war room, to go to your prayer closet. And if you don't have one, make one. Get one. Get alone with God. Spend time with him. Get further instruction. Hear him. Listen to him. And get the upload so you know how to save and protect your own family. And men of God in this room, I speak to you right now. Because the women, they're all over this assignment. I'm telling you right now, I don't think there's one woman in this room that's already thinking in the spaghetti brain of theirs. Everything. I'm going to pray here. I'm going to pray there. I'm going to pray for this one. They're already thinking of when they're going to pray, how they're going to do it. They already got the upload. But men, we're like this of them. I think I'll go to Golden Corral after church. Nah. Let's see. Let's go. This is what we're thinking. We're not even thinking of prayer. I wonder how the Giants are going to do this year. Man, Pastor's still talking. When is he going to shut up? Men of God, the devil is after your family. Women are more relational. I find it very much easier. Women will agree. They find it easier to spend time alone with God in prayer. Because of their relational personality, their personal nature. But men, we have to be intentional. We can't just get the upload and spend no time in prayer. Our prayer life is a spiritual discipline, and we all have to increase in that area. But the enemy is after you. He's after your family. He's after your legacy. He's after your inheritance. He's after your seed. How many unmarried men are here but have plans to have a life and a family? If you're an unmarried man, a single man, and you want to have a family someday, raise your hand. Praise God. The devil is after you. The devil wants to stop your seed. He's a seed robber. He wants to rob the seed of the word that's being planted in your life right now. He wants to erase your inheritance, take away from you the very thing that God has promised you. I challenge you to rise up in your prayer life. A prayerful man is a powerful man. Cover your wives, cover your family, cover your children in prayer. Cover your pastor in prayer. Guess what, men of God? You are the pastor of your own house. God has called you to pastor, to be an overseer of your own family. And to everyone in this room, your secret prayer, let it not be like a spare tire in your trunk. That the only time it comes out is when you have a flat or when you need it. Let not your secret prayer be like the national anthem that we just do as a courtesy before a sport game. Let not that be your prayer. Let your prayer be like a light switch that you know when you flick that switch, that power source that has never turned off, that power source comes on and it's going to reveal itself in your prayer life like a light switch. Get alone with God. Like we sang this morning, the goal of the secret place. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I close with this illustration. There was a meeting at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Bobby Richardson, a former New York Yankee, second baseman, offered a prayer. prayer that is classic in brevity and poignancy. And here was his prayer. Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Hallelujah. Not my will, but thy will be done. Glory to God. Saints of God, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in the presence of the living God.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.